Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, let's go.
Begin with a brief statement from Coach, then we'll go to questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand. Coach, whenever you're ready.
Obviously, that was a fantastic game between two football teams battling. You got to Coach Dorn and those guys did a fantastic job. They were well prepared after the break, and you know, we've got to find a way to regroup. I don't think that we're down and out. We're definitely hurting from this one. And we've got a tough game versus one of our rival teams next Friday back in the Dome, back at home, which will be good to get back to. What did he throw for? 300 yards? What was his percentage?
29 out of 39, so a little under 75.
A little bit under 75. I think he's doing okay. I don't want to be putting his business out in the street. He's got to go to battle for the rest of this season. So I think just the way he plays is the way he plays. If he plays really well, we'll keep him in. If he doesn't play well, we'll put somebody else in.
Two plays were reviewed in the final drive. What information did you seek to clarify?
I can't talk about it, Nate. I've got to send it in, and I'll let you know what they say, but I can't talk about it. I'm sorry. It's not going to do me any good to talk about it. We were searching a little bit. There's no doubt about it. I think we ended up with a goose egg, correct? Yeah, I mean, anytime you get something like that in college football, they're doing a really good job, and we're doing a not-so-good job. I thought we had better effort, and I thought we made some better decisions as coaches in the second half. But, you know, not scoring any points in the first half was really tough to overcome. I thought the defense played extremely well. You know, you got the touchdown, the trick play in the first half for a touchdown. That was a good call by them, obviously. And if we'd have been in zone, it wouldn't have been a play. We were in man-to-man, so they caught us. It happens. It's not a big deal. People play man and zone. You don't know when it's going to happen. So they got, you know, good call by them. And then I just think that getting the turnover in the second half, they did more than enough.
Welcome to the Q's Militia Podcast with those two unapologetically biased orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
What's up, Q's Nation? Thanks for tuning in to the Q's Militia Podcast with Sean and Joe. If you like it, please share it. The universal handle for the socials is at Q's Militia. Go there, join the militia. We are the first Syracuse sports podcast centered around giving you, the fans, a platform. So welcome back. This is the NC State postgame. And sorry, we promised, well, we didn't promise, but we speculated Friday was a possibility, but it didn't happen, so I apologize. It's whatever, right? I mean, yeah. Look, I kind of got in over my head a little bit with that because, I don't know, maybe my expectations were a little different. Man, I was excited for that game. I was really waiting to see. Yeah. It was kind of like it was the defining moment, I think. Going, you know, halfway through the season and midpoint to see where we're at. ACC in full swing. And so, you know, we'll get to that. Real quick, Dungy signed with the Browns practice squad.
Yeah.
That's some good news. So, anyway.
It's always good
for him. Yeah, absolutely. That's awesome for him. They're struggling in some sense. So, wish him luck over there. So, we're going to get into everything NC State. But first, as always, we got to talk about my bookie. And we thank them. They've been on board for a while now, and we tell you about them a lot. And regardless whether you've been betting for years after listening to the ads from the show or whether you're new, you know, go ahead, check it out, make sure it's right for you. Now, if you're the kind of guy or gal who likes to bet a little and win a lot, try the parlay. If you like a couple of the big games, maybe some favorites of the week, what you can do is you can do the parlay. and it'll let you bet on multiple games together, and you can get a bigger payout. You can get a you can do pretty good there with the parlays, depending on how much you put down. So if you want to bet the season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag, because no one gives you more ways to win. They do everything, folks. You got pro football in full swing, college football, MLB. You got hockey. You got freaking wrestling. I mean, if you want to bet on reality shows, you can do that too. So, you know, that's Joe's thing. That's what he likes to do. And if you really want, if you want to support your team, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with mybookie.ag. And if you join right now, here's the deal. MyBookie will double your first deposit. So this is probably the longest stint they've run this, doubling the first deposit thing. So might want to hop on that. Use promo code CHAIR to activate that offer. That's promo code CHAIR, C-H-A-I-R. Double your cash on your first deposit. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Thanks, MyBookie. All right. So, well, I will say, you know, was there anything else to talk about before we get into this? Probably not, huh? So,
No.
The Orange lose to NC State on the road 16-10. The all-time series between NC State and Syracuse is 11-2, and the Wolfpack holds that that series right now. The Wolfpack, actually, NC State is 6-1 at home against the Orange. So, here's the thing. Here's the deal. The bright side, right? Let's just do, like, something good first. Andrew Armstrong, he deserves a shout-out. He was lights out. 14 tackles, an interception, and that interception extends Syracuse turnover streak to 20 games. The defense did their thing, as per usual, I think, and that's the good of it. So, and there was some, there was a little bit of good here and there. A lot of, there was some good towards the end of the game, but it was a little bit too late, right? So after the bye week, Joe, I just felt like I'd see some improvement with the offense. We know we didn't get some of those injured players back. DeVito, he looked good on paper, and he often looks good on paper. 29 for 39 for 300 yards, but my eyes tell me a different story. And there's no question why Babers left DeVito in late against Holy Cross, in my opinion. I think we talked about that, and that's where I stand with that. So, and this isn't a shot at DeVito and I'm or the offense really, but it's the cohesion with the offense, I guess. It doesn't take a very analytical mind to figure out what happened, I don't think, against NC State. I think Tommy DeVito was running scared. He looked confused. I think he was still injured. I think he was trying to protect himself. And the offensive line was shoddy at times. And if you would have told me the first person to 16 points was going to win this game in the beginning, I'd have been pretty excited, because I would think that we would handle that. And I think NC State's a mediocre team. I don't think that they're, you know, I think they're a mediocre team. I'm just going to say that. And you can speculate, well, what's that make us? Well, I mean, I think you saw it. So, and we could talk about all the ifs and buts in this game with the refereeing and some of that stuff. And we'll talk about some of that. But
the Orange, game is this close.
Yeah, I know. And the Orange rushed for 41 yards though, Joe, and 37 attempts, 1.1 yard a carry. We have some awesome running backs. That is not a running back issue. That is an offensive line issue. And then you want to talk about the penalties. You had a kick out of bounds. Cordy, that was stupid. That was terrible. Some intentional grounding calls. So, I mean, all of this is all just cumulative stuff that piled on in a close game that we couldn't, a missed field goal. I mean,
yeah.
Right, Joe? Just too many little mistakes piled on.
Yeah, and that's, again, I think it just comes down to, again, expectations. You have to know what type of team you're looking at and look at what we've basically been doing all year. So you saw us struggle to score against good defense teams, and NC State's the second-best defense that we played against.
Yeah, they have a good defense. They do.
Right. So, and again, I just feel like, I mean, obviously, we're going to get into it with fan feedback and everything like that, but I mean, this is not Tommy DeVito's fault whatsoever, as far as I'm concerned. Like, a lot of people, when you look at, if you look at it and say that it was a bad quarterback play, then you're really only looking at the negatives. Because I know that obviously we didn't win, and maybe some people think the negatives outshine the positives, but a lot of those 10 incompletions that he had were throwing the ball away. And I know he had a couple where it was intentional grounding, and I know that there was times when he took sacks and some bad ones. But again, like, at some point, you just have to know what you have, and you kind of just got to call the game to that. I just don't know, like, NC State's a top 10 rushing defense. So I think we knew we weren't going to be able to run the ball that well. And we didn't really try to run the ball that many different ways. A lot of them, they were just up straight dives and stuff like that, you know. So you got plays like that. And honestly, sometimes, you know, the offensive play calling looks a little puzzling to me. I hate to be, you know.
It was good at the end, though, right? Like
an armchair quarterback.
Well, that's what we do, literally. So, but that's, I mean, some of it was good at the end of, like, in the fourth quarter, I'd say. I'd say those last two drives, one we scored on, and I mean, I thought the execution from DeVito was good. His production was a little better. I mean, what did they change? I don't know. I mean, you know, I just thought it was the pace was picked up.
Yeah.
Kind of, you know what I mean? So,
That's that kind of stuff. Like, again, it comes down to the run. They try to say the run sets up the pass, but if you're not successfully running the ball, you're probably not going to successfully play action either. So if you have to spread it out and you have to go and just have little quick hitter intermediate routes, that was something that I saw in one of the comments, is it seems like it's just short routes or deep routes, you know, and we don't line up four wide and try to throw some intermediate ones, slant, stuff like that. So, again, there's just little things that I think we're just going to have to change that maybe they didn't want to. You know, maybe the coaches wanted to run a certain system and they're trying to make it work no matter what. But unless Sam Heckel comes back and kind of shores up this offensive line, which, again, that's not even a guarantee because we haven't seen that this year.
Yeah.
Then we have to figure something out. They got to throw somebody else in there.
Would they throw Sam Heckel in now all of a sudden, just throw him in at center?
Our tackles are really struggling. Carlos Federello on Tommy's blind side, he gets beat quite often. There's a lot of miscommunications or just the wrong pickups when it comes to picking up the right lineman. And I know that Alexander, he's struggled a little bit this game with some false start type issues and stuff like that. And I know that he struggled a little bit too. So bringing Heckel in, move Cervais to the blind side, and kind of takes away a little bit of it. But I mean, it just shows you kind of how, what we have. I mean, like you said, that was the game. That was the game that was it going to be 4-2 and we can right this ship and kind of go on a little run here and beat a majority of the rest of our teams and maybe go 8-4, 9-3, something like that? Or is this a team that we're just hoping to get a bowl game? And I think pretty much that's where we're at. Game.
Yeah.
That's where we're at. And unfortunately, that game, you know, again, just little things. We missed that field goal and Evan
off
Foster gets that interception. You know, so that we don't give them the, you know, Hoffrichter doesn't kick it out of bounds at the end. You know, all the, I mean, again, too, and I, you know me, I hate to blame refs. Basketball, I'm the first one to say, hey, it's not the refs' fault.
But
you know,
the end of the game, though, like that.
That's what I mean. It comes down to timely, and it also comes down to how many.
Yeah.
It comes down to how many. Like, they only had four penalties overall, I believe.
That's really bad. I didn't see that. Two defensive pass interferences in the end zone, though.
Too. Oh, that they missed. Yeah,
that they 100%. Missed. Sure, yeah,
they missed
that.
They missed running into Tommy DeVito and hitting him in the helmet and knocking him down after the play got called dead in the false start. Like that's
in the end of the game.
It doesn't matter. Like and that's the one thing. Like I said, is that ever since, like I was telling you, I feel like ever since we've joined the ACC, every time we play an away game down south like this, it's like, it's not that we get BS calls. It's just that they just seem to miss the home team calls a little bit here, a little bit, you know, because, you know, they don't miss Cam Jordan stepping out of bounds right there. Barely. But they miss him pretty much clotheslining him in the end zone and they don't call a double penalty. You know, it's just like,
and I didn't even get a good shot of him stepping out of bounds. To me, it looked close enough to where you should get a better shot of that somehow.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
It looked like his foot was in and his knee hit the pylon and that's why it looked like he was out.
I thought,
so I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that counts him as being out.
And they didn't spend much.
They didn't spend
enough time on that. They just
no.
I was like, okay, well, I guess that's over.
Earlier in the game, there was an obvious hold on Trill Williams where they had, I believe, a receiver came in motion and got a little reverse action play, and he got to the outside and ended up getting a good gain. There was an obvious hold, even going down to the last play of the game. When they called false start on us, when it was obvious that that guy was offsides before any of our guys moved, they even reviewed it and they still said the game was over. It should have been a 5-yard penalty on time down. And again, that's desperation, but still, it came down to little things like that. So again, people just want to look at expectations, but we played against a good NC State defense for the most part, front seven. I don't think we took enough shots down the field against that weaker
He didn't have a ton of time
secondary.
To take,
yeah. And neither did Taj Harris either. But, I know that, and that's part of the problem. So that's why I say you can't really blame DeVito. When you have a quarterback that is less than 100%, that's running for his life. I told you on Thursday night that he reminded me of Eli Manning, because it's like I've seen Eli Manning for the past 3 years play for an awful offensive line, mm-hmm. and it's like he's running for his life and trying to save himself, you know, before in whatever you can do, you know, and sometimes you have to make that split decision to second, and sometimes you throw the ball away when you probably should have ran, or vice versa.
There was a couple times he should have ran, and he was just he was a little timid.
Right. And but I considering what he is given as far as not being 100%, the offensive line and their performance and some of the play calling, then you look at his numbers, 29 to 39 for 300 yards and a touchdown.
And he puts up good. No, he's put up pretty good numbers all year. Yeah. Like when you look at him on paper, he looks good.
Yeah. And yeah, but because of the expectations, all the fans see are the negative, the intentional grounding and the throw,
bad.
You know, or he rushed out of bounds and took a 2 yard loss instead of throwing the ball away. Like
it's rookie, you know, stuff though too. It's just
right. And it's, again, this is just learning curve stuff. Yeah, and again, absolutely. You're also talking about a redshirt sophomore that is kind of worried about not getting banged up more.
But that doesn't mean he doesn't get some of the blame for that offense, those offensive woes too. I mean, I understand.
No, he doesn't get some of the blame, but based upon the comments and some of the stuff that I saw talking about going to a graduate transfer portal and asking for the backup to come in and all this other stuff. Like, it's just ridiculous. He is not the problem.
It's too much.
You can't judge yet. You can't judge a quarterback by that based upon the fact that it's full year starting.
How about the fans, SU fans in North Carolina dogging on Dino Babers? Did you see this during the game? Joe, were you on Twitter at all during the game?
No, I wasn't.
John Casillo on Twitter. I believe he's with Noon's Magician. Fans at Carter Finley literally yelling at Dino and claiming Schaefer was a better coach. This is a really hard fan base to defend sometimes.
Like, no,
that's,
exactly.
That's pathetic, man. That's right. Really
gross. Well, that's why
that's
half
gross.
The conversation after stuff like this is talking people off the ledge, because it's ridiculous.
It's so absurd.
Like, it is hard. It is very difficult to defend. Like, you can't defend it.
It's indefensible. Just, sure. You can't. There's no way. You know, and here's the thing. What do you think? You think coach enjoys, like that's freaking, not only is it's disrespectful as hell.
And disrespectful, it's unnecessary, and it can have negative consequences. So, if you're a fan, then why are you even doing that?
Yeah, why are you even there?
You're part of the problem.
Yeah,
be
absolutely.
Part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Yeah, and I mean, that does not mean that you have to deny reality. And the reality is that this offense is a subpar offense, and the other end of that, too, is that, you know, there's a couple guys out, and there's a huge learning curve here.
I mean, look, I want our team to do as well as anybody. I'd love for them to win every game all the time. But, you know, sometimes you're going to have winning teams. Sometimes you're going to overachieve. Sometimes you're going to underachieve. Sometimes you're going to make bowl games. Sometimes you're going to make NCAA tournaments. At the end of the day, I promise people it is going to be okay. It is just sports. I'm as crazy a fanatic as anybody else, but it's going to be okay. Be part of the solution, not part
of
the problem.
I don't like the disrespectfulness. And I don't like the disrespectfulness between fans and fans either. Like, sometimes I get it, and it's fine, but I just tend to be on the side of, I'm just going to freaking ignore this because, well, first of all, I don't want to be so vocal that I have to get in a back and forth. You know what I mean? Like, what's worse than a social media back and forth? Like, it's awful.
Right. No, you don't need that. Absolutely. Like, I'm going to give you my opinion, try to talk you off the ledge, throw some logic out there, and just, you know, kind of throw the things out there.
Yeah.
You know, you can't sit there and be disrespectful and rude to every recruit that picks Arizona over Syracuse because other people are watching, you know, and you can't sit there and clown on players and coaches every single time a game doesn't go your way. or have your, you know, go your expectations, because all it does is have a negative effect. Like, people see this.
Yeah.
And coaches and players and stuff like that don't want to deal with this.
Yeah, and there's recruits all over social media, and they're checking everything out.
100%.
And if you don't think that some of that can sway them, then I think you're largely mistaken. I mean, these are still kids.
That's my whole thing. Yeah. I don't even understand why. Yeah, 100%. And they're on there, and I don't understand why. Like me, for instance, it's hard, and it was hard enough for me to watch that game, let alone go on Twitter and read about it. So be like me, okay? If the game's not going your way, don't
just go to Twitter.
Yeah, don't throw gas on the fire and go and get all negative, because that's not going to help the situation.
I understand it's frustrating. And here's something else too with the whole Twitter thing. And I forgot what the hell I was going to say. Anyway,
well, I just don't like it because most of these people wouldn't even say half the stuff if they were, you know, if they had to be in front of, you know, like, it's just some people just are looking for clicks. It's clickbait and
get people fired up.
Yeah, you this know, is they want right. they want you to go get in the back and
that's
forth.
What I was.
You do sometimes. I don't.
Who?
You do sometimes. Sometimes you take the bait. I never take the bait.
Oh, sometimes I do take the bait. And here's what I was going to say. It's people are not there. True identity. Most of the people that do this are not their true identity. They're not using their real name. So, and here's the thing. I don't get into this thing because, first of all, we have a show. We do. Okay? No. I'm not trying to turn anyone off from the show. I want everybody to be involved. I think all opinions are valid. I mean, not necessarily valid, but I want to hear them all, right?
Yeah,
but there's a line when it gets disrespectful. That's when I turn it off. Like that's my
life. And I can understand that part. Yeah, if it's a disagreeing opinion, then I'm cool to listen to it and then give my opinion and to have, you know, any type of, you know, stuff like that. We're allowed to have that. But like what you said, when it comes down to being disrespectful, name calling, stuff like that,
trashing the coach. I mean, why would you trash the coach? Now,
that's just counterproductive. And that's just again, and it's sad because you can't. Some people it doesn't matter because some people are sitting at home. Bored with nothing to do, pissed that Syracuse is losing. So what am I going to do? Okay, let's start a damn Twitter war. I'm just going to write this ridiculous stuff. And now for the next 2 hours, instead of watching this boring game in which your team loses, you can just go back and forth with stupid comments with Syracuse fans. Like, it's all for people's entertainment, and I wish that people didn't really feed the trolls.
And to be fair, the reason I mostly don't is because I sit behind this microphone and I'm able to just give my opinion. And I have to deal with people. Like, people try to troll us sometimes. I used to take the bait a lot, but...
Dude, I don't got the time.
I don't either. I don't either. So, anyway, that was an unexpected rant. And, you know, we love y'all. Just let's keep it respectful. Let's not be ridiculous.
I was just as frustrated as anybody else, I promise.
Absolutely,
you. I was hands and face. I don't want to say tears, but God, the frustration was ridiculous.
I know. Yeah,
you know, all the way up to the end, though. I mean, and to tell you the truth, I mean, I still had faith all the way through, even going into halftime. Well, it's just 13-0.
Felt like 28-0.
Some BS trick play. We're going to come out, and then, you know, two touchdowns, and I just kept feeling like we were going to come back, and then it started to happen.
I thought after the half, I thought we could right the ship. I really did.
And I'm sorry, but our defense, top notch.
It's awesome.
I know that it's not the greatest offense out there, but
in our defense, I mean,
we're missing people.
Yeah, we're missing people. We're missing some stars on defense. We're missing a star at least on defense. So in Cisco. So anyway. Yeah.
So considering that we played like crap, we almost pulled it out. So,
which has got to give you some kind of hope, right? Right.
Hoping that you just get better, but let's go.
All right. So that's it for that, Joe. Right? We good? We want to hear from the fans now, or what?
Let's go.
All right. Let's do it.
It's time to hear from you, the loud mouths from the Loud House.
All right. Y'all know what to do. I propose a question at the end of every game on social media, at Cuse Militia on Facebook and Twitter. Thoughts on the game? I put that. You give your thoughts, and we talk about it. We try to pick 10. I could have made a whole show about the thoughts in this game, and a lot of them are really good, and a lot of them are really silly. But first, I think what we're going to do here is maybe, if I can find this, we're going to give something away. Finally, I do not have the koozies in hand, Joe. I don't. But what I do have is a confirmation. What I do have is a confirmation of delivery. So they're being delivered. What happened was I got some orange on it. I got some orange on them. This is a different design. I did two-sided koozies this time, so you're welcome. It cost extra.
I did two-sided, two different
logos. Not that anybody really cares, but I put orange on it, and I made the koozie orange. Well, they wouldn't print that, so I went to black. They wouldn't print that because there's black. Anyway, so I had to find this neutral color, and it took a minute. So they're finally getting them to me. So they should be here Monday. So with that said, Baptized by Fire 75 gave us a review on iTunes. 5 stars. It's an orange fan living in North Carolina. Another one. There are so many downloads in North Carolina. It's insane.
Yeah.
It's a ton of people that listen in North Carolina. Lots of orange fans in North Carolina. Do you know all these people?
It's just me. Just continually downloading.
You listening to yourself?
Listening to you. I fast forward.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I love listening to your podcast. I live here in North Carolina and keeps me up to date with everything orange. Keep it up, guys. Keep the beer tabs popping. Hope to see you in North Carolina. Hope to see you at the NC State game and for my 44th birthday at the Duke game. Wow, Joe. So, hey. Baptized by Fire 75. You get the swag bag. Just email us at qsmilitia@gmail.com. Give me your address. As soon as
you should just deliver it to him at the Duke game.
We've talked about the Duke game, bro. I'm going to the BC game. It's in Syracuse. It's gonna be a tough one. Duke's not gonna be no rollover game either.
So, none of them are.
I know.
That's the point of this last game.
I know. So hey, email us. We'll get that stuff to you. Appreciate very much. To all of you who have taken the time to fluff us up with these reviews, we really appreciate them. Keep them coming. If I read it on the air, as always, I'll send you some swag. I got some cool designed decals, and I got some cool koozies. So we appreciate it, guys. We really do. It means a ton to us too. So
yes.
With that said, one more time. If you did not know, my bookie is going to double your first deposit when you use the promo code CHAIR. If you activate that offer, use promo code CHAIR. Double your money when you sign up for MyBookie right now. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. All right.
No, you said time. That in the beginning.
I know.
Oh, okay.
I've been asked to hit it up twice.
I didn't know if you forgot.
So I'm just a slave to the MyBookie.
Of course, to the man.
Yeah, you know. What do they call them? The puppeteers. The marionettes. Right? Yeah. So, anyway, let's get... I mean, I would love to just pump the beats. I love it. It reminds me of the 90s, right?
A little bit.
This is 90s hip-hop. So, anyway. All right. Let's go to Facebook first. Mark, okay?
Should
Mark
be.
Says... Now, we could probably... I don't know whether to save Mark for last or just read this one and be done with it. But no, there's plenty. Mark says, terrible, terrible game all the way around. Undisciplined, 12 penalties, stale play calling. Offensive line is atrocious with 8 sacks allowed. Below average quarterback play when there is time to throw in the team that is coming apart internally. Very easy to see that you were paying attention to the fiasco on the sideline. Harris, Jackson, Cordy, etc. Going to take some top-notch coaching by Dino Babers to salvage this mess. What do you think about that, Joe? What do you think about... We talked about a lot of this. 8 sacks, that's a ton. 2 of those were premature slides. Yeah. Or, well, yeah, kind of. They were. And then the 12 penalties, that was horrible. More penalties than points. That's never good. But
yeah, well, I think, I mean, he says terrible, terrible all around. I don't believe it's terrible, terrible all around.
Well, honestly, the defense was great.
Yeah. And special teams, who we can usually count on. I know they had
a
couple.
Tough. Yeah.
But I'm not going to put it on them. I'm not going to put it on at their feet. Realistically, this team has basically a problem with, from what I've seen after 6 games, We have an offensive line problem.
Yeah.
We have some injuries.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of a discipline problem.
But this was exceptionally
bad. Nah, but it's not even that. It's like some of the stuff, like even against Holy Cross, some of the targeting stuff, the body slam by Trill Williams. And then we do have a lot of false start kind of random pre-snap offensive penalties
from a man who probably shouldn't be doing it. Not a, you know,
and then you can sprinkle in a little bit of, you know, of just, I don't know, randomness, play calling. I just don't see any real consistency, and maybe that's their goal. Maybe that's what they're trying to do.
Maybe they're trying to confuse defenses, right?
But I mean, and it could be that they're just confusing their team even more. And again, NC State team with a good front seven. I don't know if we're going to play against another front seven like that for the rest of the year. I mean, maybe a couple other teams might be close, but with that front seven and that atmosphere, and it's so tough to play in NC State, and we've never really played good at NC State at Carter Finley. So,
yeah, 6-1 there. Look, are there NC? We're 1-6 there. NC State is 6-1 against us on their home field. So one thing I do want to bring up, Taj Harris on sideline, sitting on the bench all by himself. Now, I don't know. We don't know what the deal was. Coach act like he didn't know what the reporter was talking about when he was asked about it. I don't know. This is never good, but he was open a couple times. And Tommy doesn't always see the open man. I mean, there was a couple times against NC State where he really missed some wide open shots, especially at Taj Harris.
It's tough because when you're a receiver and you're running a route, you know, you expect to run your route, turn, look back, and hopefully the ball is coming your way. And when it's not, you just get frustrated. And you don't know why it didn't. You don't know what broke down. You don't know the reason. You know, all you know is that you were open and you wanted the ball. And it's one of the most frustrating things because I played one receiver, I understand.
One was probably a touchdown, too. And it was a third down play.
Right. So, and that's kind of the stuff. We have the talent. It's getting on the same page, but it's difficult. As a receiver, all you see is what you're running past and how open you are. And you just want the quarterback to get it to you. And you don't know why the quarterback didn't or couldn't. So there's just going to be frustration there. And especially in-game frustration, sometimes that boils over. And I think that's what you saw. I do think that when you saw him on the sideline after Cam Jordan, his guy that came in and took his spot, had made a couple plays.
He did good, Cam Jordan.
He was clapping. And you saw Taj Harris on the sideline kind of clapping for him. So I think this is just one of those frustrating things. And again, though, this is what I'm talking about.
Taking
advantage of, you look at it. So they had their two starting corners starting like coming into like the camp or whatever the summer were injured for this game. And then on top of that, you have your next guy who got hurt right before halftime trying to cover Taj Harris. They had third, fourth, fifth string corners out there. And granted, there was two men, so the safeties were up top, but those guys were open, and that was your weakness. That's what you should have been attacking, and not the number six ranked rushing front seven.
Sure. Yeah. So I could go with that. Joe P on Facebook, terrible O-line, terrible QB play, terrible coaching, very disappointing on the offensive side, but the defense was phenomenal. You can only ask them to do so much, though. I enjoy Pat McAfee in the booth, though. That guy is great. I don't know. Not a great consolation prize for me. I do like Pat McAfee, though.
I get it. I'm a huge Pat McAfee fan. I'm not going to lie to you. I've been starting to watch his podcast and stuff like that. I do enjoy his calls. But and that's another thing, too. I mean, the funny thing about that was that he was all over the punters because he was a punter. So that was great.
Yeah.
And but on top of that, I mean, you could hear even some of the players there were, or some of the, not players, some of the callers, you know, the commentators, they were talking about when they missed penalties. When DeVito got hit, they were like, that should have been a penalty. Yeah, like horrible. That happened in a Tulane Houston game. And they even one or two of the pass interference is the same thing.
Yeah. These refs were not good. They did give the refs kudos at one point, and I'm like, are you guys serious? Like, the refs are doing a really great job.
To be perfectly honest with you, I thought the refs were doing good until, I mean, like I said, they literally missed 3-4 our last two drives. They literally missed 3-4 game-changing calls.
Terrible coaching. from Joe P. What do you think? The play calling into that and not really reversing things after halftime, I don't know.
Again, like I said, it's one of those things where is it the offensive lineman coach? Is it him or is it just this is what we have? This is our personnel, and we just have to figure out what works, Joe.
What do you think?
Because it's one of the two. I don't know yet.
Well, here you go. Here you go. That brings us to this. This is a perfect transition. Jeff G. Senior, coach. That's my old Pop Warner coach, by the way.
Yep.
If your old players on Facebook, if your players can't adapt to your system for whatever reason, adapt your system to your players. Perfect what works and go with it. And what that leads to what you just said about the offensive line, Joe.
Yeah.
So.
Well, and that's what's difficult because again. You want your system, you know, when as a coach, you have a way you want to play, you recruit to that system and those schemes. And at some point you want to implement that stuff. And something told me that with Dungy and everybody in the last couple, 3 years that he had to change it and tweak it a little bit. And it wasn't maybe exactly what he was trying to do. And in comes DeVito, you know, his Elite 11 quarterback that he picked out and everyone's all high on him. And like I said, I mean, he's his first year.
We should be. We have not even given this guy a fair shot yet. Let's just wait and see. There hasn't been a ton of progression, but the dude's been beat up, man. He's been sacked like 26 times this year. Eric Dungy was sacked 37 the entire year last year.
Yes. And let's just put this in perspective. Last year when Dungy did have, when he was playing bad or made bad decisions,
they said, put Tommy in.
And Tommy looked okay with that line. And now all of a sudden, we have a line.
Yeah, now it's put Clayton Welch in.
Now Tommy's been doing some things. And how much have you seen, put this next guy in.
Oh, sure.
Insert name here.
It's the nature of it. Yeah.
That tells you that exactly what it is. Yeah. All these people that are calling for Tommy, put in the next guy. Let's see what he can do. Trust me, within a quarter and a half, you will be calling to put Tommy right
put
back
Tommy
in.
Put Tommy back in. Yeah.
Or calling for the next guy. So how deep do you want to go? At the end of the day, we just have to, again, what Coach said, Coach Jeff, is as much as you might not want to do it, you're six games in, you see what you have. If this is your personnel and you can't coach this up, then you have to change the way you call plays to make something happen. Because I'll tell you what, right now they're wasting a good season of a defense that could keep them in every single game. And we're 3-3. We have six more games to go. So what are we going to do about it?
Zach on Facebook, O-line play was not the best, and sadly, this was one of their better games as far as the amount of times DeVito and enough time to throw. We just can't win with pure pocket passer. DeVito is playing too conservative. The good news is he actually woke up and started being aggressive running the ball when there were wide open lanes, but it was too little too late. They may have sat Taj Harris, but he absolutely did the right thing by speaking up. The frustration was very clear from the wide receiver group and the defense. Hopefully they'll spark a different approach, next game, basically. So,
yeah.
That was the comment I read and I thought to myself, well, maybe it was a good thing that Taj Harris showed some emotion on the sideline. I mean, it does make a little bit of sense, but I don't know if that's the place to do it.
Well, sometimes again, young kids trying to figure out their emotions, you know? So, at the end of the day, that shows that he's in it, that he's emotional, that he's about it. Like, and that's the one thing, like, you don't act like that if you don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. He had six one time. So, yeah.
Right. And to be perfectly honest with you, we have confident receivers.
Yeah.
So if we have to spread out the ball and get real quick passes, get our receivers in space and let them do their work, because that's what's working right now. And if we need to do that and actually pass the setup to run, then that's what we need to do. But we need to try something.
Yeah. Back to what Coach Jeff said. So
feed the confident receivers.
Yeah, absolutely. Dominic on Facebook, morons. It's not morons. All caps. It's not the QB. You football illiterate Schmidts.
Schmidts.
Well, hold on, Joe. Hold on before you. No QB, all caps. No QB can play well being harassed all game. Okay, I can agree with most of that. Fire the coach who was responsible for recruiting the offensive line. So, Dominic, I get the passion here. I agree with it, but It's some of it, Joe. I'm going to stand by this. I'm not trying to be whatever, but it, some of it is the QB, and that is him just having to grow not only in the system but as a player in the spotlight in the big lights. So some of it is that, but it is the learning curve of a young quarterback,
red shirt or not.
So and it you know it, so it's not all the offensive line, and it's not all the QB. So usually the truth lies somewhere in the middle. I think you could maybe say it's mostly the offensive line. I think that's fair.
At this point, like I said, at this point, I'm sorry. Like, there's not. I don't know what else to blame it on.
Yeah. If not now, when 84. I don't care what anyone else says. The refs lost this game for Q's. That was clearly targeting, and they had a defensive pass interference that wasn't called all game. We couldn't get any rhythm going. Obviously, hometown refs come out pissed and get the next one cues. Yeah, I mean, look, Mike's hard on the refs, okay? And that's fine, but a valid point. This game, at the end of the game, like you said, Joe, timely or untimely at the wrong time. No
well, and that's the thing,
the no
too,
calls
is you,
killed us.
You, you look at it, it's like, oh, well, you play like that for three quarters, you're going to lose. But, like, as a Syracuse fan, we knew that we had it, that they had it in them. It's like, when are you going to get your crap together?
Yeah.
And then finally they score. And they kick a field goal, and they score. And then they're like, okay. Like, they're actually making it. And we actually saw there might have been a little light at the end of the tunnel to actually come back and win this game after all this three quarters of nonsense. And then all of a sudden, that's when they missed the calls. So that's what kind of – you know, overlies the calls, you know.
Right.
Other than the one hold that I saw the first quarter, I didn't have a problem with any of the calls the first three quarters. Then it got to the point where we were in the game and we had a chance to win. Now you're overanalyzing everything. And again, there were some bad calls there that would have kept stuff going.
Fans' emotions are high, and sometimes you see things that aren't there when you're a fan, but I don't think we did. In that fourth quarter, right? So a lot of times in games like that,
you stuff the commentators saw.
Exactly. I mean,
and I still can't believe that they reviewed that last play and actually called it that.
I know, but you can't review that play and call a penalty though. Either
there was already a penalty.
So can you call? So could you review that play and call a rough in the passer penalty?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the last one where they called a
false start,
but he was offsides first.
Oh, right. Yeah, so, and they reviewed it. You're right. Yeah, and there's clear video of that. If you go to, I think it's Brent Axe's timeline. There was someone who a Twitter user that had posted a video, and you can see it. So at DFIN01, DeVito not a power five QV. Offensively, a little better in the second half. Play calling has been terrible, but I attribute that to the fact that they can't open the playbook to a QB that they don't trust, panics, and a bad O line. So, DeVito, I would have to disagree with
most quarterbacks panic on that.
Yeah, well, some of the panic and some of the timidness was because I think he's hurt. He was playing injured. He was trying to soldier through this, and it was probably still the best shot that we had. So, yeah. I don't know if it hurt us as much as I don't think it hurt us as much as maybe him not playing. I guess is what I'm
I just
saying.
Don't. Maybe, I guess I just like I said like that like not a power five like that's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I think
that's ridiculous
a,
to
think
even
it's
say.
Stretch.
I mean, and that's
but
the
these,
whole thing.
The, when you, these comments are right after the game too.
Right. And again, when you look at it, it's like they look at his. What do you have? 10 incompletions. How many of those were thrown away?
Probably at least 5 of them.
Right. So how many legitimate actual drop / just crap balls did he throw?
It's around not like five. He didn't throw an interception. He wasn't
throwing
the ball over.
Dirt.
He didn't fumble. He didn't.
No. And even then, there was a couple that he threw a little bit too far out of bounds because it was close on like a route or something. Like there wasn't a lot of drops and there wasn't a lot of just thrown
one too far in the end zone.
In the ground or anything like that. Nah. I mean, so I can see that, but his accuracy is there and you know he's a little banged up. He doesn't have time.
At Cuse Waterboy on Twitter. How does Tommy not have the awareness to throw it away numerous times to avoid the sack? Hasselbeck put it the best at the end of the game. Underperformed and underachieved, at least at Pat McAfee's show, was pure gold as expected. Koozie. So listen. underperformed and underachieved, as Hasselbeck put it. Yeah, but I mean, I don't know.
Well, even I even had the thought process in my mind, like when they were talking about the commentators were talking about the game as it was going on. I almost felt like the commentators kind of thought Syracuse is the better team coming in. And it just kind of sounded like that a little bit, almost like they were kind of surprised that they were playing the way that they were. Especially out of a bye, I can see that. So
that's kind of the thing. It changes
expectations, like I said.
How does Tommy not have the awareness to throw the ball away numerous times? I mean,
right.
His decision making between throwing it away and running or sliding or going out of bounds was confusing to me. I think he was just flustered. I think he was trying to do what was best, and he was also trying not to get hit. I think that's what that comes down to.
I think, yeah, he was trying to compartmentalize so many things.
Yes.
I throw it away? Do I slide? Do I run? Oh, my God, here comes a hit. Like, you know, exactly. There's so many things going on. And meanwhile, he's only getting 3 seconds, if that, to make that decision.
Exactly. At @plant_Brandon, F these refs, F this O-line, F everything. Okay?
Ooh, okay.
At Tony All Staffieri, right. Orange is the new 3-and-out.
Ooh.
Ouch. Ouch.
That was the first quarter, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. It was terrible. At Congressman Cuse, tough to win when the QB is playing scared and uncomfortable. Can't expect the D to put up enough points to win and hold the other team to a minimum score. Yeah. I mean, well, that's kind of it. I mean, the defense did their thing, and they can't prevent people from scoring and score all the time. Although, if they had... It would have been nice because we'd have brought
We needed, like I said, if we would have made that field goal and Evan Foster gets that interception in the end zone, then
that's it.
A tie game.
Yeah.
It's 13-13 in the fourth quarter. Maybe we only need a field goal at the end. So
yeah, well, you add it up. Yeah, you add it up at the end of the game, though, and we're good to go.
Yeah. Well, and again, it just comes down to, you know, you need to score more than 10 points to win, especially, you know, that's definitely the bottom line.
Yeah.
But,
well, that's why again, I said, if you would have told me the first team to 16 wins, you know, I'd have been like,
but,
oh, wow.
You know what, though? But a terrible team loses that game 40-0. And that's what made me so confident. Kind of, I knew that we weren't as bad as what the first half showed. And, you know, it was only 13-0 after that BS trick play. Right. And you got the fans and the sideline, all the whole NC State team. They were acting like they were up 30-0 in the first half.
Kudos to the NC State crowd, bro. They were good.
Yeah, they brought it 100%.
They were good.
I'm just saying, they were acting like they were up 30-0. Don't get me wrong. You dominated the first half, but it was 13-0.
Yeah.
Two big plays, you know, so.
Can you tell they served beer there now?
And that was one of the things I kind of wish that we deferred.
Oh, always defer. Always. I've played enough Madden to know you always defer, okay?
It's definitely disheartening on the road to go grab the ball and get the ball first, and then you
go
get three and out and
that's
punt.
Bad.
You're like, well, there goes that. Thanks.
Yeah,
like,
and or get an interception and go 3-and-out. That's just as bad, in my opinion. At K. Nabiwaniak, I have no idea. Health is a major factor in our record and season progress thus far. It's undeniable that we are very fortunate with our team health and season health last season. Guys, we are counting on this season. Williams, Heckle, Cisco, Melifonwu have been out, and it has cost us dearly. Yeah, well, we mentioned this last episode. We haven't seen this team at 100% yet. So,
I don't agree with that. Our defense hasn't lost us the games. Most of our starters are defenders. So unless Sam Heckle is the piece,
well, Heckle, yeah, I mean, I guess he got the
unless
one
the,
guy.
The Heckle is the piece that makes the offensive line go.
I doubt it.
Then
I doubt it, right, Joe? I mean, how much?
I mean,
is he that big of a star? I'm not saying he's not.
Did we see? He got hurt at Liberty, right? So, I mean, we didn't even get. Yeah. I mean,
And McKinley Williams hasn't played at all.
That's my whole thing. Yeah, there's no way. There's no way that I could go as far as saying that that's the reason why.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd say it might help, but it's not. I don't know.
Oh, it can always help. Sure. At Salty Warrior, last one. It appears to be a transition season for Cuse. Personally, I adjusted my expectations. Not that frustrated anymore after a loss. Hopefully, we learn and get better this season. Going into next couple of years with Tommy as the man. Go Cuse. So I'll end with that. And that's kind of like this should be everyone's takeaway, I think, for this season. And let's hope for a bowl game, and let's hope for the best, and let's root our team on every game. Let's try not to trash them. Although, you know, I understand it's tough not to mouth off. I get it. I do it too.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of things I say off the air that, you know, but I don't put it out there. I try not to put those things out there. So,
I mean, there's lessons. You learn lessons and you learn things every single loss when you're a young player. I think that Babers is he's building his depth. And I know we might be losing a couple. We lost a couple good players last year. We're going to lose a couple good players this year. But our depth every year is growing and getting better, and every single loss, every single game, every win, every play, people are learning. And again, you know, losses, you learn stuff, and these kids are growing experience. Like, that kind of stuff is what, you know, makes you look to the future and hope that it's promising. But again, people don't want to look at the future. They want to look at now, and they want to have a great
because
year
the expectations
this year
that were set by themselves, right, by maybe
let's
by
just
us
put it this way.
By
there
media.
Was 3-4-8 teams. Then we had a team last year where everything went their way. Last year we won games
called a lot
like
of breaks.
Thursday night.
Yeah.
Last year we won games like Thursday night because we didn't kick it out of bounds. We got those calls. We did get another interception, maybe for a touchdown. You know, those things happened.
Yeah.
You know, Schmidt didn't miss field goals. Like so
yeah. It's tough.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Yeah,
we'll be ready for Pitt. We are going to do the Pitt preview, normal, same bat time, same bat channel at Wednesday evening, and we are going to put out not a bonus episode, but we're just going to do a little quick basketball episode that will follow before that. At some point, it'll drop, so be on the lookout for that. I want to thank everybody who participated in fan feedback. Thank you for your reviews on iTunes. Keep those coming. 5-star reviews and 5-star rating and written reviews get read on the air. You get sent stuff, so you keep. I mean, free. It's free stuff, guys. It's free stuff.
Come on, man. It's
keep
free.
Us. Keep us. And if you don't like the show, just don't do it. But if you want free stuff and you want to be part of keeping us the number one rated, the best rated Syracuse sports podcast on iTunes out of anybody, then please do it. The big names are creeping up. The Syracuse.com is creeping up. So we appreciate all of those. Big time. Big Tyler. Time. Big time. Yeah, Tyler's creeping up. Yeah. Look, come on. We can't let Tyler take the lead
sure
on
we
that,
can.
Guys. So anyway, we appreciate you.
He's about the only one I wouldn't care.
It's the only one I would be okay with. Put it that way. I appreciate you guys. Thank you to my bookie. Thank you to all of you for listening. Thanks to James on guitar. For Joe, I'm Sean. We're out.
Thanks for listening to the Q's Militia Podcast, the fan's voice with Sean and Joe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.